You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thank you for listening to the Late Breaking F1 Podcast. Make sure to check out new episodes every Wednesday and every Sunday.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the Late Breaking F1 Podcast presented by Harry Eade, Sam Sage and me, Ben Hocking, reviewing the second qualifying session of the year, qualifying for the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, where Max Verstappen, I believe his name is, some up-and-comer, has got pole position and he's done so by 0.3 seconds. Not too bad from him at all.
No, it's so good to see this level of performance from a youngster. He's clearly new to the game, but maybe he's got a bright future in front of him. We're yet to see, but a tricky track, and he's absolutely nailed it. Not got a pole here before because, of course, a youngster up and coming in the game.
I'm basing my hope on is that he got pole, so race is going to go badly for him. That's how it's going to work, right? Because all the other times he doesn't get pole, he does well.
Yes. Hmm. Okay. We'll go with that logic for any form of optimism.
Sure. Let's go with that. Naturally, we will be talking about Max Verstappen and the, I was going to say fight out front. Fight might not be the right word. The people that were behind Verstappen, but quite comfortably. But we're going to start with an actual rookie, an actual up-and-comer, something we didn't think we'd be talking about at the beginning of today, which was the second Ferrari driver, Charles Leclerc and Ollie Bearman in the seat today because Carlos Sainz appendicitis ruled him out of this Grand Prix weekend. Firstly, most importantly, thoughts with Carlos Sainz as he goes for his recovery. I believe he has had his surgery now and all went okay, which is great news. For this weekend, Ollie Bearman standing in. So a bit of an outstanding question as to how he might do, given he only had FP3 earlier today. And then, of course, the qualifying sessions made it through Q1. Almost made it through Q2, agonizingly missing out on a Q3 spot by less than a tenth of a second, ending up in 11th place. Sam, it's tough to know exactly what the expectations are for a driver coming in fresh, but what do you think he did in terms of what you expected him to do?
I think he ticked pretty much every box that he could. He got one practice session in the car and, you know, out of all the tracks that you think, oh, I'm going to get thrown into a circuit here that, you know, I'm going to get a good go on, Jeddah, of all of them, is one of the most horrifying circuits that you could have been throwing in on for your very first attempt with only one practice session in one of the fastest cars ever made for mankind, for racing. It is a sensational challenge, and I think he rose pretty well to it. You know, he finished in Q11, as you mentioned. At that point, he was only 0.036 away from Lewis Hamilton, which, you know, you argue that the Mercedes and the Ferrari are somewhat close. And so when a rookie who has never driven that car before is that close to Lewis Hamilton, of all people, you've got to pat yourself on the back. No collisions, didn't cause anyone any major problems. He did a great job at kind of putting the laps together around in Q1. he didn't let himself down at all. There was no embarrassment to his performances whatsoever. And I think he could pat himself on the back and think, I've set myself in a good position. There are no expectations of me right now. I just need to go into the race tomorrow and keep it calm, keep a level head and deliver a consistent performance. If he scores points, any points, I think he's done a very good job.
Indeed. Harry, what did you make of now the youngest ever driver to race for Ferrari?
When he was born, Michael Schumacher had already won all of his championships.
I know.
His dad is only 5 years older than Fernando Alonso.
Yes, and he is a dad of a Formula One driver, whilst Fernando Alonso is still a Formula One driver. I was very impressed with Behrmann. I think throughout practice as well, I didn't really watch practice very heavily, but so that would have been so easy for him to throw it at the wall on multiple occasions today, and he didn't. The only blemish is really, which I think he's been cleared of, I think I heard just before we start recording, was getting in the way of Bottas, or Bottas's lap. But very, very impressed. Just, and even when a lap went, he had a couple of times where a lap went wrong, got away from him, but didn't try and carry on try and keep the lap going, just backed out of it. You know, went for the next run, and like I say, was agonizingly close to Q3, which I wouldn't have even put. I know he's in a Ferrari, but he only jumped in the Ferrari today, so I wouldn't have put money on him being in Q3. So I think it was very, very impressive, very measured, which is probably the more impressive part rather than the speed, because like I say, I think there are opportunities to have a massive accident. He obviously set pole in F2 yesterday, which he can't do anything with now, unfortunately. Well, I say unfortunately, not that unfortunately, but, and it's something like 14 seconds slower than the F1 cars are doing. It must have felt like a rocket ship. That's insane.
The only logical metaphor that I understand as a normal human being that isn't a Formula One driver is my Wi-Fi in London and my Wi-Fi now.
Yeah.
They're the only things I can understand that are the equaling speed difference.
Sam is living as Ollie Bearman.
Seconds.
I did a download of something earlier. It was 6 gigabytes. In my old house, that took 11 hours. It took me 1 minute, 10 seconds. Honestly, I am in the future.
Sam has got such fast Wi-Fi
welcome
now.
Welcome to the present.
Welcome to the present, mate. Finally joined us. In summary, I was very impressed by Ollie Bearman.
Yeah, I have to say I was impressed as well. I think the point you made, Sam, is a very valid one in that if you had to ask all the F1 drivers, rank the circuits based on where you'd like your debut, Saudi Arabia is bottom three, surely, if not last. Because it is, and no disrespect to the likes of, you know, Nick De Vries, who did a fantastic job when he debuted at Monza for Williams, right? That's probably at the top of the list. Not to say it's not his own unique challenge, it definitely is, but Saudi Arabia having one practice session and then qualifying, that is a challenge that really defies description. And I think Behrmann did a pretty good job. I mean, sure, it was a bit messy at points, but I think that was a given, and that is absolutely allowed in his spot. And he had good pace. I think, as we've often said, I know Harry makes this point quite a lot, is that when we're looking at rookie drivers and drivers with not a lot of experience, it's like you need to see the speed. Like, yes, there are going to be mistakes, but you can get around that. You can never get around a lack of pace. And that wasn't an issue with Behrmann. He clearly demonstrated good pace out there. And he was so close to a Q3 appearance, at which point, who knows, maybe he does get up to ninth or eighth place and he's in there. We'll see what he can do tomorrow, obviously. But yeah, I think he did a good job. And, you know, I don't envy the fact that it was Saudi Arabia. I think to an extent, any driver who comes in as late as Behrmann does as a debut, you're kind of in a win-win situation because there's nothing you can do that's going to get you criticism unless you are like 5 seconds slower. If Behrmann had qualified 18th today, I don't think anyone would be throwing shade at him, right? So, and of course he outperformed that. But just to say, yeah, I think he did a good job. And Kevin Magnussen and Nico Hülkenberg in the Haas seats might be looking at him going, oh, Don't do very well tomorrow, please.
Speaking of those seats, I have a question for the class because it's something that I'm unaware of. Why was it that Behrmann was picked and not someone like Schwartzman, who is obviously still a Ferrari reserve driver? Is it just convenience that he is already in Saudi Arabia?
I don't know, but that would have been my guess.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know either. So if anyone listening, if you know the real reason, if that is the real reason, I would just be curious.
I guess flying someone, though, if he's not in Saudi Arabia, it's not. He's probably not close, right?
No, yeah, exactly. That logistics is a logical one.
Justice for Giovinazzi.
Sure, he's kicking himself.
We're going to go 10 positions ahead of Behrmann to first place. Max Verstappen took pole position by just over 0.3 seconds back to Charles Leclerc. And as heard over team radio just after that lap as well, both of his laps in Q3 would have been good enough for that pole position. So, pretty dominant session for him, Sam. A bigger gap than what we saw in Bahrain. Did that surprise you at all?
Yeah, it did surprise me a little bit. In the pre-race preview that we did midweek, I did say that I thought it would be a little bit closer. I did think Leclerc was actually going to be able to step up a little bit and see pole here and maybe not win the race, of course, but I did think that the fight for pole in qualifying was going to be much closer. We saw it last season how regularly Max Verstappen didn't get pole position. He's still got a lot of poles, but half the season, he wasn't on pole position. And currently, he's got a 100% record, which I'm a little bit gutted for. And I think as he crossed the line, we heard that radio message come across, there was an audible sigh across the world of Formula One that we may be in for another year of extreme dominance. I tweeted this out as well afterwards that, you know, the reaction from Red Bull and from Verstappen, when you do something that many times that easily, it is so frustrating to hear such a mediocre reaction over the radio to picking up pole position in Formula One. It's not Max's fault. It's not Red Bull's fault. They're bloody good at what they do. And they are, it's up to everyone else to challenge them. But it does always upset me when they cross the line and they go, yeah, cool, pole position. Nice one. You think, oh, this is a big thing. You should celebrate this. And it's nothing to them. But that's not their fault, and they're smashing it, and they're more dominant, apparently, than they were last year at the moment, which is absolutely breaking my heart.
What do you think, Harry?
I think if we were just counting from second down, we're having a banging championship so far. So close. Second to third.
Top three.
Yeah, Leclerc, Perez, Alonso. Good Lord, what a session we had. Someone else was maybe in there, I don't know, in actual first, but... Yeah, like you can't fault him. I can't even, I know you, like you say, Sam, they're smashing it. I can't even fault them for not being, they're just doing a job. Like Max and Red Bull are literally just doing a job. They turn up, they do it really well. And then they're like, yeah, that was good. We'll do it again tomorrow, probably. It's just car and driver working in absolute perfect harmony. And Perez says something afterwards about how he just couldn't get, he wasn't going to get close to that time, which I know we weren't, but last year when Perez won here, some people, not everyone, I know Ben definitely wasn't, but some people were talking up a championship fight maybe between Perez and Verstappen. This year, Perez himself isn't even going for that one. He's just like, yeah, no, I'm not as quick. Just going to nip that one in the bud early.
Yeah, count me out, guys.
Count me out. Yeah, just...
I'll be back next year.
It's just about... My only real hope is... Not real hope, because things can swing throughout the year. It's only race two. Like, it's not over yet. But if the Ferrari can just improve a little bit, Leclerc he's there. He's doing God Leclerc things, but he's nudging him a little bit. I know it's still 0.3, but if we can get a little bit closer, I think Leclerc could probably give Max a bit of a headache. In the race, we don't know. Their long run pace yesterday, Ferrari looked better than it has or did in Bahrain at least. So who knows? But in terms of quality, yeah, Max just, like he did in Bahrain after the race, just very, very relaxed afterwards. Like he's not, it's just very easy, isn't it? I'm a quick guy. What are you going to do about it?
Nothing. A quick dude.
I'm a quick dude.
I'm a quick guy. What you going to do?
Get that on a t-shirt.
New catchphrase there.
Yeah. Max Verstappen. I don't think you can be overly surprised with what Max Verstappen delivers anymore. We've just seen so much of it. I think what was incredibly impressive about today's performance was, and you've kind of already referred to it, Charles Leclerc, Sergio Perez and Fernando Alonso, I think all three of them did a really good job. Like I think all three, particularly Alonso, who is driving the absolute wheels off that car. And when he came over team radio to say that on the first lap, yeah, that was a good lap. And you see he's 5 tenths behind Verstappen. It's like, yeah, I mean, at least in Bahrain, I think Charles Leclerc didn't quite hook up Q3. I think Perez left a couple of positions out there. Here today, I can understand why Perez was saying what he said after the session, because again, I feel like he got everything out of the car. He essentially did two laps in Q3, Sergio Perez, that were identical, which usually leads to they've got everything they can out of their car based on their ability. So you just have to watch in awe at what Verstappen's doing, I guess.
Do you think I'm overthinking that we missed Sainz a little bit today? Obviously, no disrespect to Behrmann. Of course, he's a rookie. He's had to jump in. He did a fantastic job. But I do think that Sainz has felt very competitive. You know, coming out of Bahrain, he looked good in the first FP2 sessions that he was in. I'm not saying he'd have challenged Verstappen, but he really would have spiced up that fight right at the front of the field, I think, because he seems on a good bit of momentum. Might have been good for the race tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a fair shout. I know we mentioned Sainz already in terms of get better soon, but F1 drivers are hardcore because he did all of Thursday practice with a supposed stomach bug. And then they were like, oh no, mate, actually your appendix is going to burst. You need surgery, son. Oh, no wonder I felt so rubbish.
Imagine that. You've got a ticking time bomb in your stomach. I'm just going to do 2 hours of driving at 200 miles an hour around a track though first. I'll get to that.
Yeah, I'll be fine. I'll have it later.
Hardcore. What a cool guy. And handsome,
God
damn it.
God damn you.
Handsome, cool man.
Yeah, well, there you go. His appendix is weak, so he's got not something anymore. To go.
He's removed his only weakness. He'll now be a tenth faster.
Weight saving. Well,
weight saving, carbon fibre appendix. No paint.
The Alpine drivers turn up and just...
No, we can't.
Oh, God, just a pair of hands.
Anything to go shoes. Faster.
I got body.
No race suits anymore. Too much weight.
Oh, God, looks like Mike Wazowski. Just an eye with hands and feet.
Oh, podcast overboard. Good Lord.
It's a good thing it is actually a natural time for a break. We're going to take 2 minutes. Oh, boys.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to move on to Mercedes now because it was another slightly underwhelming session for the Brackley outfit. George Russell just about out-qualifying Lewis Hamilton. George Russell, of course, On his first run, got his fast lap in. Second run, he had to abort it. Lewis Hamilton, similar to Bahrain, I think it's a question mark again as to whether is he sacrificing qualifying pace for race pace. Do you think that's happening, Sam?
No, I don't. I don't. He's come out in an interview and said, quite comedically, if you take it out of context, I just need to find a comfy rear end. And hey, we've all been there, mate. But my point is, you're a seven-time world champ. You've got over 100 pole positions to your name. This kind of start to a season, I don't think is good enough. I genuinely don't think it's good enough. If George Russell is able to pull out performances that are this much better, and I do think that if George Russell didn't have to abort his second run, it wouldn't be a tenth of a bit between them. It would have been three or four, because the whole weekend, every single time they finished a session, Russell has been at least 0.3 faster than Lewis Hamilton. It's not good enough. And he should know how to set up a car. He should know how to be able to maximize it. And I just think he's letting himself down a little bit at the start of this season. This is a really shoddy start to another campaign for him. I don't know if he's checking out a little bit, or maybe he's off the peak of his powers completely now. That's totally fine. You know, we've got all Fernando Alonso, who can absolutely rag it about until we're 104 years old. But Lewis Hamilton is not on his A game right now. And it's going to start costing him sooner rather than later, because Russell is, I think Russell is putting everything out of that car that he can. And I've been quite impressed with him at the start of this season. Lewis Hamilton is the disappointment currently, which you don't say often.
What do you think, Gary?
Just to go back on the being a child and laughing at rear end jokes, race fans tweeted this yesterday. It really made me chuckle. Hamilton had a couple of really big moments due to unstable rear end.
Hey,
come on.
Don't put a man down. We've all gone through it. I'm lactose intolerant.
We've all had a curry in our time, but come on, Lewis.
Hey, we all know what a booner does.
just a bit slow, wasn't he? He wasn't really... I know Russell wasn't that far ahead in the end, but if Russell got that final lap in, we don't really know why that he didn't. I'm assuming he just was slower. I feel like Russell might have pipped him by a bit more because he seemed to have an edge on him all session. Hamilton, yeah, is he going for a race setup again? But I don't know, because as in Bahrain, where he went for a race setup and George went more for a quali setup, they ended up in the same position on track anyway. So come the end of the race. So I don't know whether that's worth doing or not, but I don't think that's what it was. Hamilton just seemed to be struggling. He just seems to be struggling this weekend. And we've seen it before. I know he won the first one, obviously. But since then, with this new regulation, Mercedes, no matter the year, he's not really clicked with this track in terms of the ground effect cars. So I don't know why. But yeah, he struggled here in 22. I can't quite remember what happened last year, but I don't remember it being a belter. And again,
He didn't get through to Q2, I don't think.
That was definitely 22. Yeah.
Is that 22? Yeah. Sorry.
But 20, yes, okay. 23, I don't know. He didn't beat Russell again last year anyway, because Russell and Alonso were the ones swapping podium positions. So
Russell's never been out qualified by a teammate here.
Russell is the goat of Saudi. That's what we're saying. Just odd one. Maybe this is just a bogey track for Hamilton. And again, I know I'm aware he won the first one, but at the moment, it just doesn't seem to click for him.
Yeah, it is a bit disappointing from Mercedes, because I think with George Russell, let's say he hooks up that second lap, it's a bit of a guess, but I think he might have been just clear maybe of the two McLarens. I think he'd have been short of the other four, though, in which case that's still a little bit of a disappointment versus what we thought might be achievable come the beginning of this season. I think from Lewis Hamilton's perspective, it was reported yesterday that, again, Russell and Hamilton have gone in completely different directions with this car, in which case maybe Hamilton is going for more of a race setup. Now, the good news for Hamilton is they are closer on track here than they were last time out in Bahrain. As you've already mentioned, they sort of eventually came back towards each other in Bahrain. But of course, Russell at one point was fighting as high as second. That's very unlikely going to be the case early on in the race tomorrow. So maybe this does end up working out for Hamilton, at least versus his teammate. But I do get the feeling that, at least at the moment, Hamilton is sacrificing too much when it comes to qualifying pace. I think it cost him ultimately a position or two in Bahrain. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Look, I don't think that car is capable of front rows at this point, but certainly based on what Hamilton's produced in the past, he could be qualifying far higher than the back ends of the Q3 as he is right now. So, it's disappointing for the team. And as I said to Sam just before we started recording, I think the worst moment almost, or the moment of realization came when Hamilton was like 0.8 slower than Verstappen through sector one of a fast lap. And it's two different worlds at the moment.
What is going on with Mercedes? You think, you know, they were the most dominant seat by a country mile less than 5 years ago. And now they're a mid-table side at the moment, right? The AlphaTauri is right next to them. Lance Stroll, who, you know, I think he's doing an all right job this season. Maybe not in comparison to his teammate, but he's all right. He's right behind them as well. McLaren's are comfortably looking like they're jumping them at the moment. Ferrari's taking a big step forward. Where are they? It's just not going right for Mercedes. And I'm surprised they've got it so drastically wrong at the moment.
Where are you?
Where are you?
Lesby Avenue.
That is a Delia Smith reference. Anyone who would like to look it up?
It's a very British thing because my mind went to exactly the same place as well. Delia Smith straight away.
And that's why we're friends.
McLaren. So they're going to be starting the race again alongside each other as they were in Bahrain, although a little bit higher up than where they were last week. But interestingly, this time it wasn't Norris leading Piastri. It was the other way around, which was actually the case in both runs in Q3. Was this, do you think this was quite an encouraging result for Piastri to out-qualify Norris, Sam?
Yeah, it's encouraging. I'm not going to read too much into it. It's only the second race of the season. And as I said at the start of the season, when we did our predictions and things like that, I said that Piastri might be a bit of the surprise of the season. I do think that over the course of this whole 24 race campaign that we're running through, Piastri is going to take a step forward. Lando Norris has been operating at an incredibly high standard for a good couple of seasons now, arguably overperforming what that McLaren is really capable of. And he's not really had a teammate to match him. Not since Sainz left has he really had proper competition in that car. So the fact that Piastri got his rookie year, he settled in, he got that sprint race win, of course. The improvements required were the race pace, though, not the qualifying pace. More regularly than not, Piastri and Norris across the whole season were quite close together when the cars were equal in their development. Piastri needs to take this qualifying pace, which he's picked up today, and did a good job, right? Just beats Norris. Well done. He needs to turn that into solid, consistent race pace and tyre management tomorrow. And then I'll feel a little bit more buoyant, a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more excited by what Piastri is actually able to deliver, because it's definitely in there. He's definitely got that capability to really be a world superstar Formula One driver, but I've not seen it from him 100% just yet. So if we finish Saudi tomorrow and Piastri's beaten Norris, he's, I don't know, 6 or 7 seconds clear, nothing's gone wrong for either driver, I'll go, that was a really strong performance from Oscar Piastri. That's the first time I can tick a box and go, he's outperformed Lando Norris across the entire weekend in all areas. That's what I need to see from Piastri. So yes, good first step, encouraging signs, not there 100% just yet. I need to see a bit more.
Harry, good stuff from Piastri today.
Yeah, I think where we hope he's going to be basically versus Norris in that fight, obviously he's leading it after quali. But it sounds right. I think he needs to show it tomorrow because race pace last year for Piastri was probably his main weakness, I think. But even if Norris beats him, as long as it's close tomorrow still, I think that's an encouraging sign. So look, for McLaren, it's ideal. They've got both drivers there in the complete opposite way that they don't, that Aston Martin don't, with Alonso in fourth and Stroll in 10th. So if that's going to be a battle, which it may well be, for a place in the championship, then yeah, this is good news for Macca. Encouraging for Piastri. He needs to carry that on to race day.
Yep, my thoughts exactly. He out-qualified Norris 7 times last year, so it wasn't, even though Norris comfortably beat him in qualifying across the full season, it wasn't unheard of for Piastri to get that win on qualifying day. So, yeah, it's just about whether he can convert that tomorrow. But he looked pretty good out there, apart from when he was hitting the wall. I've never heard anyone so unaffected by hitting a wall. Just clip the wall.
Man doesn't care about anything though. Just like, you punched me in the face. All right, okay, fine.
Do you think like when he has his birthday or it's Christmas, he's like, cool, a gift, appreciate it. You know, do you think he's like, oh, it's my birthday today, I forgot.
Thank you, mate.
It's just so calm.
I love it. Speaking of McLaren, ex-McLaren driver, Daniel Ricciardo, struggled a bit out there today. He qualified 14th, which I think was exactly the same position he qualified last week. But whereas last week, Yuki Tsunoda was also knocked out in Q2, today he made it through to Q3 and will start the race from 9th. A fair gap between those two drivers in Q2 as well, Sam. That's it's quite a showing from Tsunoda.
Yeah, half a second was the gap between those two when he got through to that session. The only reason that Ricciardo is perhaps even 14th is because Hülkenberg, of course, has the failure and couldn't get a lapping either. Very and true. Magnussen did beat him. And considering that we've argued many times on this show that qualifying is not Magnussen's strong point, not a good look for Daniel Ricciardo. This has not been a good start to the season for him. Beat Tsunoda, of course, in Bahrain, but controversially with team orders and the silliness that went on between those teammates. But Tsunoda has fueled whatever fury he collected from Bahrain, and he has used it to really deliver pace on the track here for qualifying around Saudi. Getting into Q3, ninth place, not even at the back end of things. This is a good showing from Yuki Tsunoda. And considering that out of all the drivers in the Red Bull family, he's the one not in contention for the senior Red Bull seat, it makes you think that Daniel Ricciardo has got to take a massive step up to really show that he's what Red Bull need over the next few seasons to partner Max Verstappen. Realistically, as a sample size, it's a very small one, but why would you get rid of Sergio Perez and not have Daniel Ricciardo in that car right now? Why would you swap, make the swap? I can't see an argument to be made. Daniel Ricciardo needs to step up. He needs to start beating Tsunoda, and he needs to hope that the race tomorrow, where the points are scored, is a far more prosperous session for him than what this Friday has been.
Harry, as Sam mentions, that's a fair gap, 5 temps, 5 positions in the end.
Yeah, it was not a not an ideal session for Ricciardo, but you're right. It was a fair gap between the two in the end. I just wonder whether it was actually Tsunoda outperforming the car rather than anything the other way around. But Tsunoda, very impressive. He needs to turn that around in the race, which hopefully he can do. But yeah, you're right. Right now, Ricciardo does seem to be struggling for a bit of pace versus Yuki, but again, it's early doors in the season. I don't know. We don't know the full story of how Crawley went, but Ricciardo can't afford to keep having that gap between them this year if he wants any chance of a Red Bull seat. But like you say, Sam, right now, why would you swap it?
Yeah, and it has to be said, I mean, Bahrain, roughly speaking, they qualified where they finished. They weren't able to make a great deal up in the race itself. So if Ricciardo's stuck in a similar spot here, it might be a long day for him. We'll see how, you know, the opening couple of laps goes. But I mean, if Harry's prediction for the race is to be believed, there's going to be like 5 safety cars anyway. So you know, he might end up in
Can't
the top
wait
5.
For that.
Yeah, P4, mate.
Exactly. I was impressed by Tsunoda though. To out qualify Stroll was a good effort. I think, you know, realistically, you can't look at what Tsunoda did and go, there was more in the car than that. He should have finished higher. So I think he's certainly one of the better performers of qualifying today. Before we give a driver of the day, you mentioned Hülkenberg qualifying 15th. Those yellow flags took a fair while to come out.
Were the race directors asleep?
What's going on?
What's happening? That's unbelievable.
Quite grumpy about this.
Sounds like grumpy. You took 10 seconds to answer.
I'm actually really sorry, folks. I've had my Sky mini box delivery missed, so I'm trying to realize.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Pause the podcast, everyone. Sound Sky mini box has not arrived.
I was quite annoyed because I paid for that for a month and it's not turned up.
He's spewing about the yellow flags and the Sky mini box.
Honestly, speaking of Sky, that's where I get my obviously F1 stuff from. Can't watch it in the bedroom at the moment. Devastated.
Oh, my God.
It's what everyone wants on in the bedroom. It's Crofty talking about FP3, I'm sure.
It's a real mood setter.
No. Back to the actual session. Sorry. This is not on. It's not on. And the same thing happened in F1 Academy as well. When there was a yellow flag, it took an absolute age to bring these flags out. And safety is paramount. I don't care how entertaining or not entertaining anything is. Safety is 100% paramount. And a yellow flag being deployed obviously allows drivers to know that there's an issue. It tells them to slow down and it keeps them aware that they have to be on the lookout potentially for people coming onto the track, which then become a double yellow wave flag or a red flag, as this became. They couldn't get the car off the track, and it was in a heavy braking zone at that point. And we know what Jeddah is like. Walls get hit, cars lose control. You saw what happened to Zhou in practice. He absolutely wrecked his car on one of the corners nearby to that exact place where Hülkenberg ran the car off the track. So not good enough. It needs to be far faster. And I just hope and pray that tomorrow in the race, they are far snappier with it, because 20 cars on track, full pelt, you know, foot to the floor in a race condition. If they take 30 seconds too long and there's another mistake, funny enough, we watched the 2019 German Grand Prix and you see Charles Leclerc in the barrier and then Lewis Hamilton comes and hits the barrier right in front of him. Doesn't take long to realistically put a car in the wall in the same place one lap after another. So it needs to be faster. Not good enough. Quite worrying, actually. That's the second time in this weekend alone that that's happened.
Yeah, that needs a proper look at, because it's not even like they were delayed by 5 seconds or 10 seconds. Merck had basically done a full lap by the time they came out. It was ridiculous. And we obviously weren't on board with it or weren't looking at cameras of it straight away. So I feel like, at least from my side, I was, okay, surely Hülkenberg has pulled off in a very, very safe place for there to be absolutely nothing in terms of a yellow flag. Pan to him. Nope. That ain't true. He is right in a very dangerous position. So, yeah, they need to be way more on that tomorrow. Before we go then, driver of the day, driver of the session. Again, can't really remember what we call this, but I think you know what I mean at least. Who have you got, Harry?
Fernando Alonso, head of the fan club, obviously. But, yeah, like you said, I'm not entirely sure that Aston Martin deserves to be in P4. I mean, it wasn't far off P3, even P2, if it was a couple more hundredths. But yeah, he's been on it this weekend since the word go yesterday. So hopefully it nets out into a good result in the race. We'll see. Hopefully the Aston Martin race pace isn't what it was like last weekend, but it remains to be seen. But I'll go Alonso. Again, Verstappen, obvious choice. He was very good, but I'll go for something different.
Sam?
Yeah, I think there's some contenders. A lot of them have already been spoken about. Alonso, Harry, an absolutely fantastic shout. Verstappen definitely deserves a mention. I think Charles Leclerc is getting everything he can out of the car. Piastri beating Norris is strong. And Tsunoda absolutely wiping the floor with his teammate is a really positive sign. I am going to give it to Behrmann. I just think this is one of those tracks where you have to be so switched on. You have to be so precise with everything you're doing. And I think 11th place is a really valiant effort in a grid that we've seen, if you remove Max Verstappen from, is incredibly compact, incredibly close. It would have taken, half an inch of steering in a slightly different moment to have given him the 0.03 that he needed to be in front of Lewis Hamilton rather than behind him. He deserves a shout out and he's done a brilliant job. I'm excited to see what he does in the race.
Alonso for me. I thought he was sensational. I know Lance Stroll's not a strong qualifier, but just over 0.7 separating those two guys at the end of Q3. And I know this is crazy to say for a driver that has been in F1 for as long as Alonso has and has had so many great qualifying sessions. I don't think there are many that were better than that one. I really think that might be towards the top end of that list. Not saying it's his greatest qualifying session ever, but could it make a top 10? Like, he was that good, I think, even though on paper P4 doesn't sound like much, does it? But
every lap he did was good. There wasn't a lap he went, oh, that was a bit off. Just every lap he did, good lap.
Yeah, exactly.
I think realistically, if Alonso puts in a standard lap, he could easily be 7th or 8th. Quite comfortable.
Yeah, I really thought he was great. Normal kudos to Verstappen, who was phenomenal as well, but I'll give it to Alonso. Should we do this all again in 24 hours time?
Buzzing, mate. That's what we live for.
Do the honours then, mate.
So many podcasts.
Folks, you've got 24 hours to fill in everything before you return here for your race review. Of course, if you want to be a Patreon subscriber, you'll get the power rankings, which will be delivered. Kirsty, please nod at me on Sunday evening.
Maybe Monday.
She's saying yes, but if not, we'll aim for Monday. But the power rankings will be coming, and that's obviously a benefit that you get on the top tier. So please go and check it out. It's more content. There's loads of other stuff that come with it. Enjoy your Saturday mornings or wherever you are in the world. We've got a lot to do. Remember, the race is a Saturday, not on a Sunday. I know a lot of people are still very confused by this. I'm going to trench down to the post office to get my Sky Mini Box, and I will see you all in 24 hours. In the meantime, I've been Samuel Sage.
I've been Ben Hocking.
What a thrilling story. I've been Harry Eade.
And remember, keep breaking late.
Follow along and I'll tweet updates.
Please do.
Say hello to Postman Fat for me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.